We have given God's thanks and asked Him to bless His Word. Let us turn to it now. First of all, we'll read our text in Psalm 119. And we're also going to read, it's a rather short psalm, Psalm 13. And also part of Isaiah chapter 30. Okay, first of all, as I said, our text, Psalm 119, 81 through 88. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Holy Word. Verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth. But I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Turn back in the Psalms to number 13, Psalm 13, continuing in the reading of God's Word. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And then also from Isaiah chapter 30, we'll start at verse 15 and read through 21, continuing on in God's word. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, and as a banner on a hill. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he might be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. May the Lord bless the reading and the proclamation of His Word to us this morning. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Sunday from the previous 8-verse section in Psalm 119, we heard about the bitterness of affliction. Even though God's purpose in afflictions is good, and that in knowing God is righteous, also in sending affliction, so the believer with the psalmist seeks comfort. That's what we heard last Sunday. And now in this section, we see more about affliction. And, well, brothers and sisters, if by now you're getting kind of tired about hearing about affliction, I understand it all too well. But, as you know, this is not my word. This is God's word, and it continues to talk about affliction for a reason. As we have seen before, the Bible faces affliction head on. The Bible doesn't, as we sometimes say, sugarcoat affliction. Makes it very clear. Affliction is real. It is painful. It is bitter. And affliction comes from the Lord. So also in the midst of the pain and bitterness of affliction, there is comfort and peace and hope from the Lord. So you see, as we are in Christ, we are granted grace to have the Holy Spirit to comfort us and give us hope. Also, as we in this life are faced with affliction. So here in this section, verses 81 to 88, and after this, we're going to leave Psalm 119 for a while. But we see, as I've already said in previous sermons, here is kind of a climax. And we see that here, as our theme says, in the depths of affliction, the believer sighs, how long? How long? Our first point is, again, we see in our text things that have to do with the depths of affliction. You see it especially as you look at our text there. In verse 81, when it says, my soul faints for your salvation. In verse 82, my eyes fail. In verse 83, I have become like a wineskin in smoke. So let's look at verse 81. It says, my soul faints for your salvation. When it talks about my soul there, it's talking about the very core and center of my being. All within me. It faints. Literally, that means it is at an end. It is consumed. It's finished. In other scriptures, that word is often translated as it fails. In Psalm 143, verse 7, answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. It's the same word as faints. Or Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail. And when in verse 81 it says, for your salvation, that's talking about deliverance from God in times of affliction, to be delivered from them. To be delivered through them. So you see here in our text, it seems as if my soul is at its end. And we see the same in verse 82. It says, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? When it says my eyes fail, that word fail, that's the same word as in verse 81, faint. So do you see here the description of the depths of affliction? My eyes are wasting away. They are failing. As I search for comfort in your word. My eyes, as it were, cry out. When? When will you comfort me? We're going to see more of that in our third point. Also in verse 83, when it says, I have become like a wineskin in smoke. Well, a wineskin in smoke, the word wineskin there is really about a bottle made of skin. And that's why if you have a different translation, some translations just have a bottle. Because that's what it's about. It is a bottle, but it's a bottle made out of skin. They had those in one day. So you see, you have this bottle made of skin, and it is in smoke, it says. See, that describes a bottle that is shriveled up and useless, so that it's set aside. You can't put wine into such a shriveled, useless bottle. And what's important here? This is me in affliction. I have become like this, it says. Affliction has just rendered me useless. I'm set aside. You know, I'm done with. The Brothers and sisters, this is God's Word. And it shows us that affliction can be so deep that it will bring down and humble even the most strongest of man. And yeah, as we have discussed in the past, the nature of that affliction, it can vary. I'm not sure about you, but I have to admit that when I think about the depths of affliction, I think most of all of facing the illness and death of someone that you really dearly love. To me, that's much worse than if I faced my own illness and death. But as we've also discussed, the truth is, affliction is not for us to choose. You know what we will have for affliction. It's not for us to tell God, well, I'd rather have this. And nor is it for us to think that, you know, my affliction, it's way worse than someone else's. The point is, it's God's doing. And He gives affliction and He withholds affliction according to His perfect wisdom. He knows what is good for us better than we do. And then also, brothers and sisters, I don't want to focus much on this, but I have also known the affliction of the proud, as it talks about in verse 85. Where those in a denomination, you know, that you are in covenant with on the basis of God's Word. And yet they attack that Word and they attack those of us who stand firm in holding to the truth of that Word. That's not a pleasant thing. It's something that follows you around and it haunts you day and night. Frankly, in some way, it still haunts me. It's one reason why I don't like being much on the phone. Well, here in our text, we see God sends such affliction also to the psalmist. Verse 85, the proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. Now that word which there, in the New King James, it can be whom. In other words, referring to the proud and what they do. And of course, well, I trust it's of course, when it says dug pits for me, that's a very common expression in the Bible. It's about, you know, crafting, planning calamity for me. Creating something for me to fall into. One other example of this, as I said, there are many, but in Psalm 57, verse 6, Psalm 57, 6, it says this. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. And then it says, into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. So there it's, you know, a planning evil for me, but they fell into it themselves. But in our text, the idea is there is this spitefulness, this subtle, crafty plan. There's treacherous action. And I'm just repeating all those different expressions that we would see. This is really the enmity of the seed of the serpent over against the enmity of the seed of the woman. It's that enmity that we've heard about from Genesis 3:15. The warfare between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Which speaks of Christ and of all those in Christ, right? The point is, brothers and sisters, you know, it's one thing to confess about that enmity. And to see how Jesus Christ came into this world to bring about that enmity and all of that. That's all a very good thing. It's all very biblical. But we need to also see that that enmity bears sometimes a very painful, bitter cost called affliction. And then look at verse 86. They persecute me wrongfully. All your commandments are faithful. Well, talking about all your commandments is, you know, the whole, the entirety of your word. And when it says they're faithful, it means, well, it means they come from God's faithfulness. Just like, you know, earlier we saw God is good and all He does is good, so also God is faithful and His word is always faithful. And therefore, it also demands our faithfulness to it. See, a true believer doesn't say, well, if it costs too much, it's going to be, you know, something I'm going to kind of sidestep. No, I don't have the choice. God is faithful and He requires me to be faithful to what He said. That's why we've said so many times, we live by conviction, no matter the cost. And here we have to see, it is this faithfulness that makes the believer the object of these attacks from the proud. That's why they're digging pits for me. Because they see and they know I will be faithful no matter what. When it says they persecute me wrongfully, literally is, they persecute me with falsehood. And it goes together with verse 85, they've dug pits for me. Those two go together. So you see, in it all, they're after me by being very subtle and crafty, by practicing kind of tricks to get me to give up faithfulness. That's why it's about the seed of the serpent. And verse 87 says, they almost made an end of me on earth. Now, you know, that is a very literal translation. That here on earth, think about it. The wicked think that they have the rule. They're in control. Oh, don't we see that today? They are the mighty ones. And the psalmist and the believer often sees, yes, they came close. They came very close to being the end of me in this life. So you see, here we also see the depths of affliction. The believer, through the in the psalmist, he has this sense of being consumed. My soul fails. And yet you notice in that verse, verse 87, it is almost I'm consumed. As much as the attacks, and again, all and any afflictions, they can be so deep, they can be unbearable. They bring us down. You know, I become like a wineskin in smoke. Yet, by God's mercies, I'm not consumed. Just as we read in the past from Lamentations 3, especially verses 21 and 22. And to repeat what we've said, after describing just an awful affliction, yet Jeremiah says in verse 21, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm sure that many of you know it very well. There are those who face afflictions of one kind or another, and it causes them to think and to say, how can a gracious, loving God allow such things to happen? Right? But there are also those who, when they face deep afflictions, it causes them to think and to say, in this too, God is gracious. I'm almost consumed, but no, by God's grace, I keep on trusting, I keep on waiting. I even wait with a sigh of how long, as we'll see in our third point. But before we go there, we need to take notice that, as our second point says, these afflictions are given even as I'm hoping and trusting in God's word. We need to see the tenses there are very, very important. In verse 81, in the New King James, it says, I hope in your word. And remember, right away it says in verse 82, my eyes fail from searching your word. Verse 83 says, yet I do not forget your statutes. And later in verse 87, but I did not forsake your precepts. The big picture is here, but for hope, the heart would break. That's why Jeremiah in Lamentations, which is weeping, he called to mind and therefore he had hope. So, verse 81 of our text. But I hope in your word. Now this should be translated as something I have been doing. In other words, it should say, I have hoped or waited for. This is what I've been doing. In fact, that is how the very same word is translated. I'll give you a couple of examples. In Psalm 119, in verse 43, it says, I have hoped in your ordinances. Same thing in verse 74. I have hoped in your word. So it shouldn't be simply, I hope. But I have been doing this. I have hoped in your word. So yeah, in the midst of hoping in your word, my soul is almost consumed, waiting for deliverance from affliction. Look at verse 83. Yet I do not forget your statutes. Here too, the tense is important. Literally it says, I have not forgotten. It's the same tense as in verse 81 and, for example, in verse 61, where it literally says, I have not forgotten. So the sense of verse 83 is this. Although I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I have not forgotten. And the same is in verse 87. They almost made an end of me on the earth. But I did not forsake your precepts. When it says, I did not, it should be, I have not forsaken. So you see, even then, when they almost made an end of me on the earth, I have not forsaken your precepts. So in all of this, here is the very important point. That afflictions, even deep afflictions, brothers and sisters, they are given even as I am hoping and trusting in God's word. And these afflictions do not drive me from hoping and trusting in God's word. So be very careful. It is so easy to think, oh, someone has those afflictions because they haven't been hoping and trusting in God's word. That's the reason. And then by some kind of self-deception, they say, well, I must be hoping and trusting in God's word because I'm not being afflicted. That's how easily we're deceived. So I trust you see what this is saying here. It is very much in keeping. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Or I thought about Matthew 10:28, where Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, that call to fear the Lord, that's also true in all and any afflictions. But the Lord is pleased to send to us. Like we read in the law in James chapter 1. In facing trials, we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and make sure we are a doer of the word. Because it is that word that is able to save our souls. And that word will keep you from deceiving yourself. Well, I pray all of this leads us further in our text to our third point and our last point. And so I cry, how long? In verse 82, when will you comfort me? Remember, in the earlier sections, especially 73 through 80, we saw how desperately the believer, in the bitterness of affliction, he seeks comfort. And here he cries out, when? He cries out, how long must I wait? Look at verse 84. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Well, you know, if we compare this to verse 87, where it says they almost made an end of me on the earth, then we could understand this as, you know, a cry of despair. So that it would mean, how many are the days of your servant? And that, how long till this brings me to death? That would be the cry of despair. But instead, we have to see it as a cry of, how long must I wait? When it says, how many are the days of your servant? And in fact, the NIV translates it as this. How long must your servant wait? See, when will you execute judgment? Now that has to do with God's exercising His sovereignty. In the sense that as sovereign judge, you know, when will you bring your judgment on those who are persecuting me? Literally it says that. You see, this judgment by God that you wait for, that means the days of affliction come to an end. So right away, verse 86, help me. It is a mournful, plaintive cry for help from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, afflictions can truly often be very bitter. But in the depths of them, the Lord wants us to cry to Him for help. He wants us to cry like we read in Psalm 70, verse 5. I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Or listen to these words. Psalm 142, verses 4 and following. 142. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. See, that's like a wineskin in smoke, isn't it? Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, when you go through afflictions, these words become dear to you if you're in Christ. And we see that cry also in our text in verse 88 when it says, revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Well, when it says so that there in the New King James, it's better and it's more literal to just simply translate it as, and I will keep. So the point is, revive me according to your loving kindness. That word loving kindness is that word hesed that we heard about before. See, in this, the believer, he seeks a restoration to life as one who's dead and dying under affliction. And you see, in reviving from God's word, that gives grace to keep that word. That's the point there. Sustain me as I am failing. In that sustaining grace, God will give grace to keep His word. Well, brothers and sisters, here is really the point of all of this. Comfort in affliction is not always instant. The Lord's deliverance from affliction does not come always right away. Often the Lord waits to be gracious. Waits in lifting affliction. And so, as those who belong to Him, we also are called to wait. I think it was last Sunday in our discussion, we noted how this is very much the teaching of endurance and perseverance that's involved here. So also our scripture in Isaiah 30. You know, verse 17 talks about God's people as a pole on a mountain and a banner on a hill. Well, I know what a pole on a mountain looks like. I don't know if you do. But it's a picture of desolation. It's a picture of isolation and being abandoned. Years ago, when I worked on the oil patch up north, you know, there's just mountain after mountain. Well, you grow up in the Rockies, you call them hills because they're not really what we call mountains, but that's beside the point. But you know, you just see these hills or mountains of green, living forest, one after the other. And then you see one mountain. Due to fire or disease or both, you know, it's just in the midst of all these hills that are green and thriving, it's just there bare. It's like nothing there. It's all laid low in terms of vegetation. Except you see this one pole, a tree, and all the branches are off. And it just stands there all alone looking dead. And in Isaiah 30 that we read there, that's the picture of God's people who are desolate and abandoned. Very much like what we read in our text. My soul fails. This is over. Earlier in Isaiah 30, we read in verse 15, in quietness. In other words, waiting. And in confidence. Confidence in the Lord. That shall be your strength. But right away it says, but you would not. And then in verse 18, the Lord says, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. And later in the very same verse, blessed are all those who wait for Him. Wait and trust. Quietness and confidence. There will be a time, like it says in verse 19, you shall weep no more. So, how long? Blessed are all those who wait on Him. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, we have heard how the psalmist faced calamity and affliction. How he groans under it. He has doubt and fear as he's possessed by these things. And what we really need to see is that the state of affliction and suffering of the psalmist, that is a type of the affliction and suffering of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And yeah, and that too, that was sent from the Father for good, right? This morning we are again called to remember it in the Lord's Supper, that it was good, that affliction and suffering that He did, went through. Because it was for us and for our salvation. But yes, also, that affliction and suffering is a type of the affliction which the Father, in His righteousness and in His goodness, He is pleased to give to those who are in Jesus Christ, even as they are hoping and trusting in His Word. And yes, in the depths of it, there is this sigh. How long? Well, in the Old Testament, we certainly see it here in our text. And we also read of it in Psalm 13. You know, how long? How long will you hide your face from me? How long having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? But there's also the hope. Psalm 13, verse 5. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The same dynamics is at work in Psalm 90. We often read this for, you know, the beginning or end of the year. But verse 13 of Psalm 90 says, Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. It says, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. The years in which we have seen evil. Well, we have to see. All of this in the Old Testament is a cry ultimately for the Messiah. But then you know what? In the New Testament, because of the Messiah, because of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, remember, became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Well, I pray you see it. That means that no affliction that you and I suffer is ever a payment for our sins. Because He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, which has to do with our sins. So yes, we too, we may have to experience the depths of affliction. And so also in this life, we cry out, how long? Brothers and sisters, it is for our comfort that God tells us that the church in glory joins with us in that how long. If you want to, please turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Look at verse 10. It says, Revelation 6:10, and they, now we have to understand who the they is. If you look up at verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So it is about those who are the church in glory in their souls. They're awaiting the resurrection of their bodies and they are awaiting the judgment. The final judgment. The day of justice. So let's go on. Verse 10. They cried out with a loud voice saying, How long, O Lord? Holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. See, that's just like our text in verse 84. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? It's the very same truth. And then look at verse 11, Revelation 6, verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. Until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. See, when it says those who would be killed as they were, that shows the continued afflictions that the church here on earth goes through. So you see, the Lord waits, and they too even are to wait. And they wait in rest. Why rest? Well, that's why the white robe was given to them. They have the fullness of righteousness in Christ that they are wearing. They are no longer, you know, the militant church that's here on this earth. That's why they wait in rest. And we here on earth, we wait by fighting on. You see, our cry, oh Lord, how long? That doesn't make us stop to fight the good fight of faith. But we cry out, how long, in order to spur us on, brothers and sisters, so that no matter how deep the affliction, we fight on even as we sigh, how long? May we also partake of the Lord's Supper. Remembering His affliction for us and our sins. And remembering that now He rules. And He is waiting. He's waiting for the day in which He will make all things right. So as we hear often in the words of administration of Lord's Supper, He told us, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You know it. Till He comes. Right? See, even in partaking of the Lord's Supper, there's this sense of waiting. Of how long? Till He comes. So you see, together with all of Christ's church, the one in glory and the one here on earth, it's one church. We together say, Amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's a cry of faith. It's a cry knowing that the day will come when He will execute judgment. And then, all will be made right. Till then, brothers and sisters, may we cry for grace to keep our hope firmly on the Word of God. We need that so that we will endure and we will persevere. Even in the depths of affliction. To the end. Amen. Let us pray. Sovereign and gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word that is the foundation of our souls, the basis of our hope, the strength of our endurance. Grant it to us, O Lord, again and again as we live in this life. We pray, O Lord, that Your Word may accomplish the purposes for which You have sent it forth, and we pray it may also have prepared our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper now. May we respond, O Lord, in trust and faith in You, seeing how great is our salvation in Jesus Christ. May we continue to worship You also in partaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.